got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind, cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright.
All right, this is CITR Radio 101.9 FM and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show. And now, this is a music show, but occasionally I branch out into other forms of creative self-expression. And today is one of those days because the first guest for today is a poet. He is a local poet from the city of Vancouver named Mariner Janes. And he's joining us in the studio for the first half hour of the show. And after that, we have a second interview with a gentleman named Matt Smith from New Zealand. And he is a musician, so I guess back to our bread and butter of the show. But let's welcome Mariner first up. Mariner Janes.
How do you do?
Very good. Thanks so much for coming down and making it just in the nick of time. I know it's it's difficult. You literally clocked off work an hour ago.
We're seeing across town.
Yeah. Mariner is one of the hardworking chaps that I know in the downtown east side, working full time for the people, for the Portland Hotel Society. And Mariner also is a poet, and I mean, I'm going to ask him very soon about how he balances the life of social activism and service to a community. In a troubled part of the city, which is very stressful, with his work as a writer, which he's very committed to. So how are you today, Mariner?
I'm very well.
Thanks so much for coming down.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure.
We've been talking for a while, at least since your book launch for the Monument Cycles. And we realized that this week was a good time for you to come in because you're going to be part of the Word Festival.
That's right. The recently rebranded Word on the Street Festival, which has changed into the Word Vancouver Festival, which has already started, kicked off day before yesterday, and then is continuing until Sunday. And I will be reading at noon on Sunday in the poetry tent.
Great. Well, let's get right into a poem so people know exactly what they might expect tomorrow. And then we're going to have a great chat here with Mariner Janes. He's a local Vancouver poet.
Cool. This is one called City of Dust, and this is from the book The Monument Cycles. City of Dust. Stolen in like rumbles beneath the eyes, less likely to kiss than to fondle. Grave, unexpected joy, bearable, not fuzzy. Cigar, lunch, banking. It was a Joseph Conrad moment. Sweating it in, rather. No toil equals no blissly sums. The other great use of sawdust is that it soaks up blood so easily. She rose like a tangent wind and just pried me open. She never looked back except for that one time. Got a new tattoo, unconvinced but wishing I could believe my own thoughts. Clock ticking, an unconvincing cliché, but accurate nonetheless. Time in, time out. Coagulation of the thought. Repetition, the best sense of it, and the worst. Counting windows or beans, acrylic, dipping toilets into paint mixture. But even when time should be yours in your mind, if your body cannot be a single line of thought, is hard to sustain in the din and the slurping, sucking sound of the paint vat calling to me like oblivion in a black dress. Is it wrong to consider death for myself so close to the wake of a death here beside me? Is it only human? Tasteless, like strychnine or gas bills?
Thank you, Mariner. That was a poem read live here in the studio. Mariner James is a local poet, and he is published in a book called The Monument Cycles. Now, I went to the reading that you gave for the publishing of this book, and it was, I mean, very fitting that you held it right down there on Hastings Street at the, what was that?
Interurban.
The Interurban Gallery, because Mariner is part of the community working in the downtown east side. That, first up, that poem there, what can you tell us about that poem?
I guess it's kind of an awkwardly kind of joined together rather than one kind of long, lyrical, kind of flowing piece. It's very much a kind of series of jammed together thoughts and worries and fears and thoughts about mortality and death and suicide. Yeah, all the happiest stuff I could think of for the evening.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, contextually, you do the work that we, I mean, we both do. That's how we know each other. Down, and we were just talking. I actually said to Mariner, it's going to be a little chaotic when we transition into the radio because the news team, and there's seven of them in there, and so pardon me. And Mariner just said, well, chaos is kind of something I'm familiar with, and it's true with the work that we do. How have you maintained your practice? Has it been even more important starting working there? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that a lot of it has been that my poetic kind of practice and study and kind of work towards getting it actually done has kind of arisen out of that work, as kind of started to mature in and around that time that I started working. I don't know if it's mature yet. Maybe it's still maturing. Maybe it'll never be mature. I hope not. Jesus. But it's very much a symbiotic relationship, I guess, where I take things from what we do and working and kind of working in the downtown east side, and it gives back to me and it keeps me sane most on my good days. And it's very a two-way street that feeds forwards and backwards. It's kind of a feedback loop where I write towards the streets and the streets sometimes write back towards me, or I take things that I find from there and just ruthlessly exploit them and try and give some kind of voice to either places or people or things that are voiceless very often or shut up or shut down.
Mm, exactly, and that you have a very personal approach to this, but at the same time, not sensationalizing. I mean, unfortunately, there is that side of some of the art that comes out of the neighborhood, and this is definitely not, in my opinion. It's very tastefully written. And some of the detail is definitely through having spent time in the community and being empathetic.
Absolutely, and that's something I struggled with for a very long time, and I don't think I'll ever stop struggling with it. But I got to a point where I just had to say, you know what, I'm not going to fight this fight in my mind anymore. I'm not going to keep struggling with, at what point do I say, this is exploitative, or this is not exploitative, or writing away or towards exploitation, or trying to struggle with those things. And it became such a battle in my mind that I just decided to give up and just publish it anyway and just write it anyway.
Yeah. And to be have a kind of a nuanced approach also to the history. There's one poem that jumped out at me, which was the Militant Mothers of Raycam. Mm. So Raycam is one of the services downtown?
It's a community center, yeah. Right just on Hastings, right by Campbell.
Yeah. This is clear. There's the historical references in here. I see the 1971 referred to.
There's lots, yeah. This one is very much a kind of historically based and kind of researched poem, very much. The community center has an interesting history in that its kind of origin is tied up in the community. So rather than the city kind of imposing its will on the neighborhood and saying this is where there's going to be a community center, this one sprung up as organically as is humanly possible. In that originally there's a school right across the tracks, and the railroad tracks run right beside the buildings and where the mothers and the families lived, and the children were crossing to the elementary school by running across the train tracks and either getting hit by trains or almost getting hit by trains on a daily basis. And the mothers particularly, the whole families were involved, but the mothers particularly were became very, very active on this and became very militarized and took action. And that's where the poem comes from.
Oh, interesting. And I wonder to this day if that the legacy of that has left, the strong women are still running it, and with that, I'm sure, with those memories intact. And yeah, that's fascinating. We're talking with Mariner James. He is a local poet. Now, he was born in Victoria, but has made his way here to Vancouver. When did you come over here?
Oh, I was 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're definitely young, Vancouver. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I think I can earn the Vancouverite
That's
title
right.
at this point.
One of the very few I actually know personally who have really been born and, well, more or less born and bred here because it's somewhat of a transient city. And actually, the transience of the city, another poem that really jumped out at me today on the bus right here was The Ambassador. I just think this is an extraordinary collection of images and thoughts about, I guess, you know, the oppressive nature of the current social setup that is here, and it's well documented, I guess, with gentrification and a declining middle class. And to be honest, it was powerful for me. I've actually myself faced a rent eviction. I'm living through it as we speak, and it came to a head this morning. And sitting on the bus with those emotions flooding through me and reading this poem, I couldn't have thought of a better poem to read and to make me feel that other people around are thinking about what's really going on to individuals. Did you want to speak to that at all, the ambassador? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I can read it if you'd like. It's
sure.
kind of a difficult thing to speak to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I hope I did it some justice with my own...
Absolutely. Yeah. And this one was actually written very much around the time of the Olympics when a lot of this was coming to a kind of boiling point where the city was being affected in ways that were displacing people, and that were people's fears were both being realized and kind of lived out, and the police presence was overwhelming, and the security presence was overwhelming, and the city was swirling in money and kind of excitement on one side, and then in other neighborhoods it was kind of in this vortex of gentrification being sped up to a whirlwind pace, and that is very much kind of a part of this culture that you're talking about with gentrification and the process of rent evictions that have been plaguing the downtown east side for some years now. That's very much a part of it.
Okay, so let's actually we'll be right back with that. I should get to a public service announcement at this point, and we'll be right back with Mariner James reading that very poem, The Ambassador.
Joe Satriani is a rock guitar superstar. Don't miss his Unstoppable Momentum Tour Saturday, October 19th at the Vogue Theater with special guest Sit Down Servant featuring Gordy Johnson. Tickets available online at northerntickets.com, by phone at 604-569-1144, or in person at the Northern Tickets office at 918 Granville Street. For more information, visit satriani.com.
Okay, so as I mentioned, Mariner James, now our special studio guest, will be reading another poem from his collection called The Monument Cycles.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So this poem is called The Ambassador.
The Ambassador. I represent a city called Death. Steam rises out of the bones. Tombs crawl languished through breakfast restaurant. I represent a city called Security. I will not hold your hand through the training exercises. If you have questions about the relocation of your business, belongings, family, they may be put in writing and mailed to Under the Gun, 449 Great Northern Way. Shockingly good news. I represent a city called Handcuffs. Called in, face down and muffled. Seize us, please help us. This is an SOS. 52 nautical miles north by northwest. I represent a city called Transnational. Here today, never left. You'll need a rifle to find the flashlight. I represent a city called Bright Lights, powered by the grip of the labor forces and held out like a candle to the ocean. There is blood and sawdust, and no one swims under any milky haze. I represent a city called Home, where refugees cling to a notion of citizenship that waves through changing political winds. The hunger that day will not kill you. That's not how hunger works. Staring at my toes and thinking of a full hot meal in a safe place. I represent a city called Whirlpool, where dreams are liquefied and spun, where organs are crushed and turned into a paste for bread, where bureaucrats sharpen public knives and the dawn congeals into a soft drink. I represent a city called Anchor, where the call of duty is nothing but a civic nod and a bagel. I represent a city called Trust, where lovemaking is the real deal, man, where nothing but taxes comes between us.
Thank you, Mariner. That's the poem that really jumped out at me as I caught the number 99 bus down here in the afternoon, The Ambassador, by Mariner James. It's from the Monument Cycles, which is his collection of poetry that came out, it was early this year, wasn't it, that you had that launch? Yeah. And as I flip through my signed copy, it says there, to Matt. Thanks for that copy of the book, Mariner.
My pleasure.
Now, you, of course, any creative individual is always working on something. And where are you at now? Like, with the reading on the weekend, will you be reading new things that are not represented here? Or?
Yeah, a couple new things. I'm working on putting together a new chapbook of poems right now that is it's kind of an exercise in a form in a way to see if I can kind of constrict myself to a form that carries through. I hope to have that finished over the next couple months and maybe published sometime after that.
Okay. Yeah, form's an interesting one. I mean, I'll knowingly say here, I'm not schooled in poetry, and I did a little course once, which was very, this is structure and this is how a poem is, but looking through yours, there's really interesting forms. Your education at SFU, how much of it was about this, like the actual, you know, new ways of putting the words on the page? And
A fair amount, to be sure. But I think rather my favorite courses were ones that delved into history and anthropology and culture and so on. So I think a fair amount of the schooling was towards that. But a lot of my love of kind of poetry is really just from reading other poets and looking at them and the forms they choose and how they choose to push the stuff out onto the page.
And can you speak of any that come to mind of your favorites, both past and present?
In terms of poets?
Yeah.
Locally speaking, I've got a bunch of great writers. He's not local anymore, I guess. Gary Thomas Morris has moved up north, but he's a great favorite. Jordan Abel, who's just put out a new book called The Place of Scraps, which is a fascinating look at an anthropologist that was kind of looking at the savage natives and kind of exported a lot of artifacts out of the province into other countries, and is looking at this idea of kind of the discombobulated world of language, and his stuff is great. In the past, locally speaking, someone like Earl Burney I love. Sharon Thiessen I've been reading for a long time. I actually grew up next to a favorite poet of mine named Lionel Kearns, who was really the person that kind of started to read his work and became kind of interested in, but when I was like, you know, 14, 15 years old, and started thinking about what he was writing about and his writing in general. So those are a few.
Okay. And Buzz Osborne too, when I think of the downtown east side, he's like the obvious one that sticks out.
And absolutely, the book is dedicated to him, and his work has affected me tremendously.
Yeah, he actually spoke at the Insight anniversary, the 10th anniversary, just last week, and that was very moving. And I definitely put you in a class with him for someone, you know, someone speaking to the truth of what they observe.
That's humbling.
In the community, yeah. Because there's always another generation, isn't there? I mean, that's the thing.
Indeed, yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
One's never sure on the downtown east side if there's going to be.
Well, that's true.
Generation or not.
That's true. Yourself, you're a father too. So, who knows when there might be a little evidence of a literary spark coming up. Has that happened yet or too young?
Not really. I'm not sure. As soon as he has words, I think that's when someone's able to be kind of poetic and do that. And I think my son is definitely poetic in a lot of ways. I know every parent kind of says that.
But yeah.
We were driving down the street a couple of weeks ago and he said, oh, what is that smell? And I was like, oh, yeah, that stinks. And he said, smells like acid and milk. And he's five.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. I just looked at him. I was like, that is a beautiful way of putting a horrible thing.
That's the word association happening. There it is. Oh, and of course, your wife as well, who also works down on the downtown east side, and support. You're a man. I mean, well, I can only assume you've found some semblance of balance because you have a family and you have a work that you're committed to and a creative outlet. I mean, I know balance is pretty much impossible for most of us, but it looks like you're striving.
It doesn't feel balanced in my head, but it is really. I'm lucky enough to have a very supportive and talented and sweet and smart partner and great children, and the work is frustrating and chaotic, as you mentioned, and it is all those things, but it is also, I think it's something inside of the people that are drawn to this work that not necessarily they thrive off the chaos, but they're able not to be swallowed by it in ways that are destructive. And I like to think that I'm able to kind of, via osmosis or whatever else, absorb some of that chaos and turn it into something something fruitful and something creative. That's my goal, my hope anyway.
Yeah, I totally relate, and it's why I continue with this show, no matter how stressed I might be or huffing and puffing to get here or I've just started to write some songs too at home. And there's something that I can totally relate to what you're saying. And many of hundreds of us who work there can as well. So we are talking with Mariner James. He is a local poet. The Monument Cycles, but you have been published also in some periodicals. Is that right?
Yeah, West Coast Line published a poem that's in there, Vanishing Point. Hmm. And there was a chapbook that came out before that called Blueprint. Hmm. Other periodicals. I Am magazine published a few pieces.
Okay, and what do you think of at least one more? Do you feel like writing another?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. How about a music one since we're...
Oh, yes, yes, show? The Robert Johnson. Yeah, is that, like, are you a huge blues fan? Why Robert Johnson?
I am into the... I'm into everything. I really am. And people say that, but I really am. Go home and put on some Aphex Twin, then Patsy Cline, then Robert Johnson. But, I'm particularly interested in him because I think his life is just about as interesting as the music. And anybody who knows anything about his life will know exactly what I'm talking about. But, this one is kind of takes some of his actual lines and some of his lyrics from his songs and tries to weave them into the poem because they were poetic in their own right, as I hope to illustrate. So this is Robert Johnson sings the blues at the Shangri-La, July 1937. Like consumption, killing me by degrees, I can study rain. The list, come on in my kitchen, walking blues, rambling on my mind, me and the devil blues. If I had possession over judgment day, love in vain, I believe I'll dust my broom from four till late. Crossroads blues, hellhound on my tail. She got a mortgage now on my body and a lien on my soul. Steps out on stage, that crazy evil eye roaming the juke joint, the other dead on me, sits down on the wooden chair, the smoke of the guitar strings and the steel curling from a cigarette, starting off slow. You better come on in my kitchen, baby, gonna be raining outdoors. Foot tapping, Isu jumping behind the curtain, the whole joint in a silent cacophony. Can't find my girl on Philippines Island, must be in Ethiopia somewhere. His fingers spidering the chords, blues falling down like hail. Right into the souls of the crowd, right into the eyes of the kind-hearted woman at a table, by herself, pack of cards and a candle, little glass of whiskey, painted toes, red and black, red and black. I'm gonna get deep down in this connection, well, deep tangling with your wires. No fooling, here is the crossroad, here is connection, here is where the paths come together and go apart. Can't get yourself unwound, can't find no solitude. I went to the crossroad, baby. I looked east and west. Partnered now for life, me and Isu in this bottle, dancing till my dusk comes ringing over the hills, red and black, red and black.
Well, thank you, Mariner. Oh, and I didn't expect the singing there too. That's great. It's so cool. Have you done that one much at readings and stuff like that? And lends itself well.
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So that was a poem about Robert Johnson, the great blues artist who sold his soul at the crossroads, or supposedly. No one really knows, but. And that was, I guess, probably the last one we have time for Mariner to read live. But just as a reminder, you can catch Mariner at the Word Festival in Vancouver on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sunday at noon.
Sunday at noon. In the poetry tent.
Beside Library Square there.
Library Square. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I remember going to this last year. Great. So that's the Word Festival, which was previously called Word
on the Street.
Word on the Street, that's right. Okay. And would people be able to find copies of your book on Sunday too?
We'll have some copies of the book there. I think just about everybody that's reading at the festival has their books on sale at the tent there. But you can also buy them either online from Amazon and so on, or your local bookstore. If they don't have it, they can order it in ASAP.
That's right. So, Mariner James, and the book is called The Monument Cycles, his latest collection. Thanks so much for coming in, Mariner.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. It's always a treat to have some poet. You're now the second poet we've had. We've had Weldon Hunter, if you're listening. Weldon, you were great. Come back again. And any other poets out there, if you're listening, I'd love to open the studio to more and more poets. There's never enough time. I mean, what am I saying? There's plenty of time to come on this show. So send me a line. Allstranded Radio is the website, and you can find a link there to an email. So please, poets, don't be shy. I would love to hear from you. Thank you, Mariner.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show, and music to come very soon.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Farewell, Mariner. Thanks for popping in. Mariner James, a local poet. We have another interview coming up quite soon, a phone interview I recorded with a gentleman named Matt Smith. He is a New Zealander, and he phoned through from the North Island of New Zealand earlier this week to speak about the music that he makes in the band Symphony of Screams, and also his work as a label owner, a music label owner. Really interesting guy. So that's coming up, plus some more Canadian music. First up, actually, I'm going to play for you. This is I had not expected at all to play any Philippine music, but Constantine let me know just recently. Constantine Katsersis, he is a local electronic musician, and he is part of the organizers collective for the Snooze Fest that's happening this weekend, which is aligned with Vivo, which is on Main Street, lots of fantastic ambient and electronic artists that are playing, and including this group called Seekers International. Now, they're playing tonight as part of this Snooze Fest at Redgate, which is at 855 East Hastings, and it's going to be at 10 p.m. So it's described, the little description for the event is a night of dubwise, deep and left field techno from the West Coast. But this group is from the Philippines, so that's amazing. So let's see if we can get one of these tracks up here. This is Seekers International. Then we'll be back pretty soon with my interview with Matt Smith from New Zealand.
Move this out, little thing, I must make a jump, and this is 2-2-1 style. Circle and have fun. Circle.
One time.
One time. Circle. One time. One time. Circle. One time. Circle. One time. Circle. One time. Circle. One time. Circle.
Vancouver web scene Van Music present 3 nights a week of awesome music from both local and touring bands. Check out Tune Up Tuesdays and Showcase Thursdays at Displace Hashery at 3293 West 4th Avenue, where bands come to jam for a chance to win some great prizes. And don't forget the Indie Pop Vancouver series, happening every Friday at the British Ex-Servicemen Association, 1143 Kingsway. Be sure to come out and support live music.
This is CITR Radio 101.9 FM, Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. You can follow us on Twitter at AusStranded. And that track you just heard there was from Seekers International. As far as I know, they're actually from the Philippines. Here in Vancouver, especially for Snooze Fest. Thank you, Constantine, for giving me the heads up. Snooze Fest is it's going over a few nights here at various venues in the city, including Vivo last night. And this evening at the Red Gate is where you can catch Seekers International and some more dubwise and deep left field techno. So Seekers International was who you just heard. So Snooze Fest is as I said, a multi-venue kind of electronic and ambient festival. So great stuff. This is Stranded, and I'll be right back with the interview that I recorded with a very fascinating chap from New Zealand. We'll be right back.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark. You're listening to CITR 101.9 on your FM dial.
And you are listening to Stranded, Australian Canadian Musical Talk Show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada. And now it's time for our next special guest. This is actually part one of my interview with a gentleman from New Zealand, a musician and record label aficionado and producer by the name of Matthew Smith. Now, he is in a band called the Symphony of Screams, a very hard-hitting metal grunge-type band. They're from the North Island of Vancouver. And Matthew is also the proprietor of AAA Records. You can find them online at aaarecords.com. Now, very interesting chat, because he wandered into the CITR studios a few weeks back, completely randomly. He was here for a conference related to, I think, the First Peoples of the Pacific regions. It happened to be here at UBC. And he walked into the station and wanted to talk to someone who was interested in New Zealand music. So, I was the right guy right here. I was in Studio C prepping a show and was happy to talk to him. And we have now exchanged details and have spoken on the phone. And I pressed play on the recorder here in Studio C just this past week and recorded an interview. So let's get into a track from Symphony of Screams first up. This is Matthew's band. He's the singer from this band. The album is called Radio Candy, and it's also already been getting some pretty good reviews in New Zealand. And this may be one of its one of the band's very first air plays in Canada. Who knows? Let's play this song now. It's called Amsterdam Place, the current single. And then we will play part one of the interview I recorded with Matthew Smith. We had quite a long chat, so part two will come up next week or another week. So here's Symphony of Screams from the North Island of New Zealand with their single called Amsterdam Place.
We'll be right back. everybody. This is Fred Penner on the radio waves saying a big hello to CITR 101.9. Listen, sing along.
So a very hard-hitting track there from a band called Symphony of Screams from the North Island of New Zealand, featuring Matt Smith there on vocals. Now, Matt Smith is the special interview we have in this part of the show. He's from New Zealand, and he wandered into the CITR studio completely randomly about a week or so back. And he was here for, I guess, a non-music-related conference, but he popped into the studio, let us know who he was, let us know he's a representative of New Zealand music and his label specifically, Triple A Records. And we've since caught up on the phone since he got back to New Zealand. And this is a part one of the chat that we had. So here we go. This is Matt Smith of the band Symphony of Screams and also of the record label Triple A Records. Now, you will notice that he has a British accent because even though he lives in New Zealand, he's actually of British origin. So we talk about that. Anyway, here we go. Part one of my interview with Matt Smith, currently based in the North Island of New Zealand, of the band Symphony of Screams. Okay, so this is CITR Radio and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show. And of course, New Zealand is part of this show. I frequently play Kiwi music, and I actually today have, I think, the second ever New Zealander I've been able to interview on the show, which is exciting. A gentleman named Matt Smith, who is calling through from Matt. Where actually are you calling from?
I'm actually in a place called Wainui, which is about just under an hour north of Auckland. Out in the countryside, it's great.
Okay, and for people who are completely unfamiliar with New Zealand, which island is that?
So that's the North Island, and we're right up in the north part of the North Island, so the warm bit, basically.
Ah, very, very wise decision to live
there. Yeah, exactly.
As I am in the warm bit of Canada, the tiny little warm bit. So, now, Matt, he is a member of a band called the Symphony of Screams. You're quite a hard-edged, I guess you've been described online as grunge metal. Is that fair enough? Or?
Yeah, I think it's always hard, isn't it, to put yourself in a category, unless it's obvious. And I always find it very difficult to put us in a category. But I suppose if you're looking at our influences, then, you know, they were very much out of sort of the British metal scene, early metal scene, and then obviously very influenced by the West Coast grunge scene as well. So, I mean, they would be our most obvious influences. And also things that are quite progressive, like Pink Floyd and things like that. So I think there's an element of that in our music as well.
Okay. Well, let's go right to Britain then. What is your... Is Britain where you had your musical coming out, or is that where you formed your sensibilities and your first bands?
Yeah, so, I was in the music industry in the UK. I mean, I was working in studios and, as a musician etc. since I was probably 17. I played in a band back there, which was called Sender. And then when that band broke up, a band called Sundog, and it was actually Sundog that got the interest of Sony Records. But that all went tits up when Sony got bought out by BMG. And in all of that chaos, basically, I decided I had enough and moved over to New Zealand with my Kiwi partner and started a new life. And it's been wonderful. Never looked back.
Ah, so what era are we talking about of British music when you're part of it there?
So that would be 9 years ago. Yeah, so it was sort of the time of Kasabian coming out and all that kind of stuff.
Right, so, well, I guess well past the Britpop era.
Yeah, post Britpop.
Yeah.
Sort of a hangover period of Britpop. Britain's such a big musical market, and I think internationally you see such a small part of what the music scene is like there. And, it really is quite vibrant still in the underground side. So there's lots of different ripples of music going on. And we were definitely, a guitar band. But we had that sort of very British, post-Britpop sound that caught the attention of the record labels. And it was funny because, Sundog hadn't been going very long when it all started to kick off and get very exciting and put us under a huge amount of pressure and tested our friendships and so forth. And, it was a very interesting period, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and I'm sure just from talking to you already, I can tell that you have quite an intelligence about you, and that you probably have learnt so much through those experiences that you now bring to your work in New Zealand, in both producing and as an artist.
That's very kind of you. I hope so. I just did my best. I think that's the crux of it, is just trying to do your best. I think if I'd known what I was getting myself into when we decided to start the label, I probably wouldn't have done it, but I'm glad we did. It's good to be of service.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the album, the label is called AAA Records, which stands for
All Good Absolute Alternative.
That's right. Otherwise known as AAA Records, and based where you are living.
No, we've basically got an office in Auckland, in an area called Westmere in Auckland. We've also got a couple of studios, a Red Room Studios out in Helensville, which is a town just out of Auckland, and a post-production studio at our head office in Westmere. And that's taken some time to get all that stuff going, but that's how we operate.
Can you sort of fill us in on, I guess, maybe the philosophy behind the label and maybe the artists and things like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, a little bit of background stories. We started, we built a studio here when I sort of formed the Symphony of Screams, and for our own benefit. And what happened was that studio got busier and busier, to the point where the under-the-house studio didn't work anymore, and we needed to build a commercial studio, so we did. And we built Red Room Studios in Helensville, which is a beautiful analog digital state-of-the-art studio. And we got more and more work coming in through there. We had international producers coming in to use it. And it occurred to me that we got sort of the infrastructure to not just to work as a producer or, working with artists to help develop their sound, but actually help them get their music out. And I had the privilege of meeting a guy called Marcus Coldrey, who's a German producer, and he spent 20 years working as a producer in Germany in music and also the film industry, doing sound design and sound production for movies. And his partner Lisa, who's an incredible graphics designer, and we worked on a project together for Gameloft, actually, doing some sound design for them. And we got talking, and we decided that it was, really, we had similar passions and we wanted to form the record company, so we did. And realizing that we got the talents to, between us to do that. And basically, the thing that got us excited is empowering creativity. That's what we're really about. Like most places in the world now, major labels are in a retreat. They're basically buying each other out, trying to figure out who they are, who their market is. They're trying to figure out what model is going to work for them in a ever-changing delivery system, and so it's not really that conducive for investing in new artists, certainly alternative artists, not taking huge risks. And we thought, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we find and try and work with artists who we like? And we sort of followed the Jules Holland model, I was fortunate enough to grow up at a period when I could still listen to Jules Holland on the radio, John Peel, thank you. Jules Holland was also important to me, but John Peel is who I'm trying to... I was just watching Jules Holland on the telly, that's what me. Yeah. I was watching Lordy on Jules Holland, and I got him in my mind. No, but John Peel, and I mean, the great thing about listening to a John Peel show, as I guess everyone who's into music knows, is that you'd be listening to a Swedish death metal band, and then the next thing you'd be listening to is a Swahili guitar troupe, followed by some fantastic dub coming out of Jamaica, or you'd hear something coming out of South America. And he didn't really think about music in really just in genre. He thought about whether he liked it or not, and whether it had that intrinsic thing that was that human communication. So I guess that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to find honest, great, hardworking artists, and then we'll match their hard work with our ability to produce great music with them and get it out to the world. And that was our ethos. Of course, that sounds easy, but a lot of work goes into that.
That's right. And I mean, it just stands to reason that when you have an ethos as solid as that, it allows you to withstand the inevitable ups and downs and tribulations. You know, it just seems like that's how things work.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I'd be lying if I said there hasn't been dark times. I mean, that's just the nature of the universe and being alive. But I think it's the philosophy that you bring to that and realize that, you know, everything that we go through is for our growth and is a learning, and trying to see it that way, so that when we're faced with difficult periods of time, we think, okay, well, that's okay. What can we learn from this, and how can we be better? How can we serve as a label our artists better? How can we, you know, improve our offering better? How can we, you know, and you know, there's always a blessing in every, behind every cloud somewhere.
That's right. Hard enough. And so how long has it been then since you landed in New Zealand and this has become what it is?
So I've been here 9 years now, and the studio has been going for about 6 to 7 years, 6 years in its current form, and the label's been going for just over 3 years now. And we've churned out in that period of time, you know, a significant amount of music, so it's been... it's been a lot of work, but it's been, you know, really joyful too.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Digging. Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
And we're back on CITR Radio and Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show. But right now, it's music from New Zealand. So those three tracks you heard, first up, Thomas Coffey and the Grinders with the track Tremendous Heart. Then you heard the Kaipara Jammers with Swans on G. Kaipara is spelt K-A-I-P-A-R-A. And then Radio Glow with the song Capture. Now, these are all recommended from Matt Smith. He is the interview which we're broadcasting right now. He is part of a record label called AAA Records. So if you wanted to find out more about those artists who we just played, it's aaarecords.com, aaarecords.com. And lots of information there, including Matt's band Symphony of Screams, who we played earlier. So we heard Matt talk about his musical background and a little bit about the label, but now this part of the interview, I ask Matt a little bit more about the artists that are on his roster, and then we talk a little bit about New Zealand music generally. So here is Matt Smith. He is the singer from Symphony of Screams, and he is also the proprietor of Triple J Records, a label out of the North Island of New Zealand.
Besides your own band there, Symphony of Screams, can you tell us a little bit about some of the other artists on the label?
Yeah, absolutely. The very first artist we released was a guy called Thomas Coffey, and his album was Thomas Coffey and the Grinders, and the album's called Dominoes. And he's the sort of folk pop sort of artist. Sort of reminds me a little bit of Jeff Buckley-esque. He's got that kind of beautiful quality about him. He was the first album we released. Then we released a band from this local area. I should just say that Thomas was from Christchurch, which is in the South Island, the city that had the earthquake. In fact, we were together up here when the second quake shook and smashed his house to pieces.
Wow.
We were sitting together watching it on the TV, which was a very surreal experience. Mm. The Kaipara Jammers, the KJs, they're fantastic guys. They're young, dynamic. They've got a uniquely New Zealand pop, rock, surf, dub sound. I love them. They're fantastic fun. They're high energy. Their shows are fantastic. And they're really popular. They're getting a lot of radio play around the world at the moment, which is fantastic. Then we've got sort of heavy metal bands like Fractured. And then we've got artists like Nat Rose. And she's got a most amazing voice. She's a Māori woman from a soul background. And then we come through to artists like Kara Gordon and The Wreckage. Kara, a Māori guitarist who's one of the best guitarists in the world, literally. I mean, he's quite astounding. He was at Berklee. And he's currently in the UK recording an album with Alabama 3.
Wow.
A blues album, and he's quite very, very special. And then we've got albums that are about to come up from a band called Radio Glow. And Gene from Radio Glow used to be in a New Zealand, another sort of famous New Zealand band back in the day called Rubicon. And this is his latest venture, and we're literally mastering that album next week, so that's really quite exciting. And then the Mice on Stilts, another very exciting band, kind of hipster-esque, but they're, you know, all got beards to a fault, but creating this incredible soundscape music. I mean, absolutely delicious. It reminds me very much of a movie score, but, you know, with movements and beautiful Rhodes pianos and viola and horn section and then haunting guitar. quite stunningly beautiful. And their EP, their debut EP, comes out in November. So that's really quite exciting.
Wow.
And I probably missed some as well. Of course, we also represent the German band McCoy Sun Project, which are a techno, all ex metalers playing techno but live. And they're actually on tour at the moment around Europe. We represent them down here. And the Tour Boos, which are an Australian electronica outfit, consisting of a visual artist by the name of Tim Grucci and his musical writing partner. And so, yeah, we've been really busy.
Well, and geez, thanks. You've literally just given me a whole show worth of material just there, what you described. So this is going to be wonderful. And definitely, it just, yeah, I can tell how so eclectic, and that is, as you said, your vision for the label, you've stuck to it. And, I mean, New Zealand, I should say that every now and then I run into people here, and New Zealand music has been so well represented by the Flying Nun label and all the work that they did that New Zealand sticks out in people's minds here.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Whenever I travel, the first thing that people say here into music, they say, Flying Nun.
Hmm.
And you know, when you're in New Zealand, you know, you hear about, you know, you're flying London here, okay, and it's, you know, New Zealanders can be quite colloquial, but it's really affirming when you're overseas and people start talking about, you know, Flying Nun and what's been achieved through those pioneers in music. I mean, you have to remember that New Zealand's got a small population, and even now it's only 4 million people. So for us to reach out to the world scene is a significant effort, and we're very isolated. We're down in the South Pacific, and people think we're just next to Australia, but we're a long way from Australia. We're many thousands of miles. And just that effort of being able to make any effect on the world scene at all is significant. And so it's really filled you with a bit of pride when you hear about, you know, you're in Canada, I meet you and you say, Flying Nun. I say, yeah, fantastic.
Exactly. And I can honestly say that more people have mentioned Flying Nun in New Zealand music to me than actually Australian music when I mention I do this show, if I'm sitting in a pub or somewhere. So there you go. That's, you know, New Zealand has a presence, and that's without.
Yeah, I think it comes out of isolation. I think that you have to make a scene. You know, Flying Nun was about a scene that was happening there and then, and it was really honest about what it was and those musicians working together. And I think that honest isolation, you know, capturing a moment in time is why it had such an effect. A little bit like what happened in Seattle, you know, like it was about a movement of people. Yeah.
Exactly. I couldn't help but mention too, given the genre of music that you play yourself, the band She Had, of course, must be of some influence to you. Would you say that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're an influence to me, not because we don't like the music. Of course, that, you know, She Had incredibly influential here. But I'd say that, you know, when She Had were sort of at their apex in New Zealand, I wasn't even here, so they weren't really on my radar. And
I think
that the other guys in the band as well, Bones, for example, the drummer, he was overseas in the States doing crazy things, and the other guys too have got very diverse influences within the band. But the thing about She Had is that it shows that it can be done. But you can basically have a band from here that does actually build an international reputation.
That's right.
You have a pacifier story, don't you, in the States?
Yeah, I do. It's, you know, it sounds like a tragic story at first instance, but really, I mean, the end result still was they have left a great legacy, you know, of good music.
And another example of a New Zealand band doing some cool things is like Stereogram. I mean, the whole reason that they managed to get the iTunes gig, in terms of you know, breaking the iPod and their music being used, was that they managed to get over to the States to record their album, and in the studio was a piece of paper, and on it they saw that it was a fax number for Steve Jobs. And so they literally wrote on a piece of paper, "Hey Steve, thanks for GarageBand, you changed our lives, you rock," kind of thing. I don't know whether actually literally what they wrote, but that's what they kind of did, and faxed it to this number. And Steve Jobs got the fax, got in contact, and used their music for iTunes for the promotion of the iPod. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
That must be a fairly well-known story by now, I guess. I can't believe I didn't know.
Yeah. the Kiwi ingenuity.
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, I mean, that just makes me think of, yeah, of the Flight of the Conchords, just two guys wandering around and anything can happen.
And of course, now we've got Lordy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that basically is taking the world by storm, and it's big news here. But, you know, the reality is it wasn't an overnight success. She actually signed a development deal with Universal at the age of 12. Scott there at Universal had the foresight to see her incredible talent and put, you know, the years into her to actually help her develop, and now she's actually becoming a huge phenomenon.
Can you repeat, what was that name?
Lord, L-O-R-D-E.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, she's obviously taking the U.S. by storm and the world by storm, really.
Hi, this is Ron McLean of Hockey/Movie Night in Canada. You're listening to CITR 101.9.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. Don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. Friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money, but every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. Thank you.
Okay, we're back here on Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show, and some Kiwi music today, thanks to our special guest, Matt Smith. Part two of that interview will be up in another week. So that was, apparently that woman is quite popular right now. Her name is Lord, L-O-R-D-E, and it's a track called Royals. She's from New Zealand. And so that's the last artist that Matthew referred to. He's not associated with her. He just used her as an example of New Zealand music that's really taken off. But Matthew did recommend two wonderful female Kiwi artists featuring some of the real Maori language. We have Simone Holland and Alana Goldsmith coming up right now. And we'll be talking more about this aspect of New Zealand music, the Maori music, in part two of the interview. It might be next week. It could be in a couple of weeks. We'll keep you posted. But anyway, let's get into these two tracks. First up, Simone Holland with a track called Kainga. That's K-A-I-N-G-A. And then Alana Goldsmith with a song called Nature Boy. A couple of beautiful tracks here for you to wrap up this part of the show. Thanks, Matt Smith from the North Island of New Zealand and of Triple A Records. We will play the second part of the interview in the coming weeks.
Thank you. ta hita ma herereke he tipua ta fitiro ta fitiro ta na hare venua moana fakamo ai more are ai matata Matatoanae Ano te ra Manawaru tupono ai Korero mau takehihi kiigi Nana teki
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, Temple of the Modern Girl Boutique, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Hoover, it's whatever. Hip hop, R&B, jazz. It's whatever. Reggae, soul, mainstream. It's whatever. News, sports, and entertainment.